Blog Talk Radio.
Not too late. Radio as we bring it to you like we always do every Monday. And we thank you all for coming in and tuning in. If you want to close, the best thing to do is to call in. The number is 347-215-8539. This is We're Sexy Radio, and it's Grown Folks Radio. And we talk that way all the time. So we say we want to say. So if you hear some explicit language, don't get mad. Just if you don't want to hear it, then you just keep going. But we're going to do our thing. Also, if you want to get on the chat room, we got the chat room open. And if you want to get there, the link is available also, so we can get that to you. So we're going to keep going. We're going to get it started right now. We got our guest coming on. We got Eric S. Gray. He's going to be here this evening. And we got some more and T.P. Miller. The three authors is going to be here, and they're going to be talking about their books. And we're going to talk shit with them, too, if they want to talk that, too. So first of all, before we go any further, let me give you a little bit of admin. And then we're going to go into bringing them on because we got 2 hours and they may not want to stay the whole time. But if they do, they're welcome to do that because we're going to be talking about different things as well as their books. So just want to let you know that that new anthology that dropped, Erotic Moments, Lust, Love, Lust, and Desire, that's a new book that's out that I'm part of. We got that going on out there with the erotic thing going there as well. And some of you may notice that there are a lot of my books are being revised. I'm doing that purposely because I wanted to give a new look, a new size, a new attitude to the books that I've done. So the Scandalous Motor series is definitely being redone, getting done, and people are getting into that. So we're going to be talking about that later. But right now, let's see who we got. We got our guest here. I'm going to open the mics to them, and I'm going to go down the line. I know the first number because I was told that number. So that 917 number, this has got to be Eric. How you doing this evening?
Hey, Rasta Napa, what's good? What's good? I'm good, you know. I'm blessed hanging in there, doing my thing.
First of all, I just want to thank you for coming on because I know we had some bumps in the past trying to get you here. But we thank you so much, brother, for making it and taking time out of your schedule because I know you are a busy man. And we'll be talking about that in a second. So we'll get to you on that. So I know, like I said, I appreciate you.
No doubt. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so we're gonna let you do your thing here in a second. But let's see, who's that 205 area code? Who is this? State your name, where are you calling from? Okay, are you a guest or are you just listening? If you're just listening, don't hang up. All right, how about 214? That area code, 214.
So that is me. This is Shamor.
Hey, Shamor, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine. Glad to have you. Say hello to Eric S. Gray.
Hello, Mr. Gray. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. And yourself, well? How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Okay. Well, we're gonna get off tonight. We're going to do this thing, and I'm waiting on my co-host if he's going to call in. But that 205 number, I don't know if that's a guess. So we're going to let that go for now. But what we're going to do is we're going to start
TP,
it off.
That's TP, I believe.
Is that TP? Well, she didn't say anything. Hey, okay. TP, is that? Let me get her back. Hold on just a second. Is that you, TP? 205 area code. Okay, they're not saying anything. I'm gonna leave it open for a minute because she may come on. But what we're gonna do right now is I'm gonna give Eric. Well, I don't know. Eric might want to let the ladies go first. How do you want to do this, Eric? Since you know you're the man. You, how would you like to do this?
I mean, questions, whatever. No, I fucking. You want the ladies to go first,
I'm a gentleman. Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go ahead and go first, because you're the man. You got this stuff going on right now. Nothing against the ladies going first, because I want to talk shit to them anyway. So this is what so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go ahead, brother, so you can get it on out there. Tell us about you, because people know who you are, but tell people who you are just in case they don't know and what you got going on.
All right, well, I'm a writer, author. I've been in the game for going on 10 years now, like over 14 books published. My first book came out in 2003, which is Booty Call. Did phenomenal. I think I did like 50,000 copies and counting. I like poetry, scripts. I'm getting into the film thing. My first film drops in, I think, October, November, which is Dark Before Dawn. Going to production with Streets of New York, which is a book that I co-wrote with Mark Anthony White, and we're trying to start that production in November. Going with budget for that now. You know what I mean? I love what I do, man. This is my passion, you know. I love writing. I love telling stories. I love being out there, being heard. It's a blessing. Because coming rock on South Jamaica Queens, you know, who would have thought that I'd be that dude that people are listening to? by my novel.
You know, so, you know, so man, it's
like I'm in a dream right now.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you still feel that way after 10 years in the game. So that's really good. You know, you know things are working the way you want, and the great thing is that you love doing it. And I always tell people that want to get into this game, the literary game, as we call it, you know, first of all, you got to love writing. If you don't love writing, you don't need to be doing this, because if you're trying to get in here just to get paid, then you might want to find some other occupation, because you're going to have to take, you know, it's going to take your time to get there. And by doing that, and what I mean by that is you know, you got to love what you're doing. I mean, because creating characters and doing all these things is something that you got to have a passion for. I don't think it's just something that you should just be doing just because you want to get paid. There's lots of ways to get money.
Because I love, me growing up, I love to read. That's first off. I love reading. I love to pick up a book and a book that takes me to a world. I'm like, wow. You know, so I
right.
felt that to be a writer, you got to be a reader too. You gotta
absolutely.
Got to know the fundamentals, because, you know, Me being a reader I read every genre, from comedies, romance, sci-fi, whatever, you know.
Right.
So I try to be diverse in my reading, and then
right.
like and that helped me with my writing too, because
right.
you got to know how to structure a book, formatting, character development, all that stuff. It grew on me. So when I became a writer, I already had the foundation set in myself. As to how to put a book together, and then for me,
right.
with the passion, that's a plus. So
let me ask you this real quick, and then we're gonna get into to Shamor. Let me ask you now. You said that I assume that you got most of your writing on just by learning how to write. Did you take any courses, or do you think it's best to just go through it by trial and error and learn it that way, or what do you suggest if you were telling some new authors that were coming into the game? What would you suggest to them as far as that goes?
Well, me, I never really took course. I mean, high school, I took, you know, you took writing classes, but I never really took
right.
course.
Yeah.
It's just, sometimes, it's just people born with that gift, tell a story to
right.
write. You know, you stand, uh-huh. sometimes you either have or you don't. And, you know,
right.
I mean, so I tell a new writer, first of all, I say, write what you know, write with your heart. See how it works out first. Like, if you have a story to tell, tell it. That's what I was
right.
doing. You know?
Right.
Man, like me growing up in my hood, my mom's always told me that, you know what I'm saying, you got a problem, you got to know how to express yourself. So my form of expression was through poetry, through rhymes, through literature, you know. So I would say writing starts with this form of expression.
Right.
And if I was in a situation, I just write it out. And it grew, back in the day, if you said that I would be making money off of this, I won't believe you, because it was a
right.
hobby. But I never thought I would turn hobby into career, a business. So that was far from my mind.
Well, you know, I think that right there, when you do it that way, not trying to cut you off, but because I'm gonna let you continue, but I think that when you, the way you came in and you saying it was a hobby to you and you wasn't even looking to make money this way, and then you're doing something that you love, to me you get more out of it that way than somebody that's coming into this, well, you know, I want a book, I want to see my book at Walmart or something like that. You know, everybody wants to, you know, write about their life or whatever. But, you know, it's to me it just sounds, the way you came into it is the way that, you know, a lot of people, I think, if they came in that way, they'd be more, you know, more into it, I think, and more successful in it.
Yeah, because, like, I put like this. If you love something, you're going to have patience for it. Like, I mean, I'm not going to fuss. Sometimes, you know, you get discouraged, you get mad, you get angry, you get frustrated. But, you know, you love something so much, if you get so discouraged, you still do it anyway. Like, you go to sleep that night, mad, pissed off at the world, wake up the next morning, like, you know what, I'm still doing it.
Right.
I mean, you love this. You love it. You love this shit.
Right.
I'm not going to sit and say, yo, there's been times where everything was peaches and cream. Nah, hell no. There's been times I'd be like, fuck this shit, man. I'm ready to call it quits.
Right.
But then,
well,
days later, I'm back on the keyboard and I'm writing something else.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I just love what I do. And then, like, if you love what you do, over time, you're going to find success in it.
Right.
Because, you know, you're, cause,
but, you
know,
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it, and that's what you got to do. You got to stick to it, and that's what I try to tell people. you know, you want to stick to it. If you love this thing, you're going to do it, and you're going to do what it takes to get there. And I'm not talking about just do anything, sell your soul to the devil, nothing like that. But what I'm saying is you're going to make sure that your craft is done correctly in a manner that you know you want to present it in a way where people will respect it. And you know, you want to learn. You know, and you get criticism. I mean, everybody's not going to like what you write. So, I mean, there's going to be some negative stuff. But still, you just got to go on and take it for as a grain of salt and use it as a learning tool and go forward is what you have to do. So, you know, that's my thing. So, and I appreciate that. So what's your latest project you have out right now?
My latest project, I got two or three. I got a book I co-wrote with Caleb Alexander, Boyfriend Number Two. That's download on Amazon.com. Now I'm going to story. I'm text, a crazy twist, the street, everything. And then I got America's Soul coming out in September. It's like a sequel to Loving a Gangster and Quavo Luso. It's the final book, you know. That's going to print either today or tomorrow.
Okay.
So, and then I'm working on a short script right now called Messiah's Confession. It's a screenplay. And,
okay.
I do it all. I mean, I try to keep myself busy because you know I always thought that you know idling minds is devil's playground, and when I get bored, I get into crazy shit, so I gotta keep myself focused and busy, because, like, it gets to the point where, you know, I don't wanna end up losing my, you know, doing something stupid, so I gotta keep myself active, and keep myself, keep grinding.
Well, that's what you gotta do, man.
Like,
yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I've been through a lot of stuff, so, like, and that's one thing about me being a writer, too, is I've been through myself, family,
things,
so, like, recruited for me because when I felt a certain way, I put it in a poem or I put it in a book.
Right.
And you know, it helps, man. It really do helps, man. Because, you know, when you express yourself and, like, you got a lot of anger and hurt or frustration or whatever, and if you keep that in, you know, it's going to destroy you.
Right.
So, me being what I'm doing today, I felt kind of saved my life. Because I was always that person. I couldn't really talk about it. I couldn't never really, like, you asked me what's wrong. I couldn't take my business like that. I would clam up, shut down.
Right.
I could put it on paper easily. There was no problem.
Right.
I couldn't write it down. You know, I wrote a poem called My Tomorrow, which is deep. You know, I mean, I opened up to a lot of stuff that was dark in me. And a lot of stuff I revealed that my mom didn't know about myself. She read it too. She didn't know. And I mean, it's like you come out the truth, man. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Right.
Like, I like, you know, that's why I say, you know, writing is healing.
Well, you know, that's good, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring some female voices in. I think TP is here now. Are you here, TP? Okay. Shamora, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am fine. I was looking at the chat room. I see TP, and she said her area code, and I have her on, so I don't know why we're not getting her. But, you know, her mic is on, so if she wants to speak, she can do that. And,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. How are you doing?
There she is. I've been here for the whole time. I'm like, okay.
Well, I don't know what happened to you. I mean, I see you and I got you on. I just don't know, but I want y'all to go ahead and say hello to Eric real quick, and then I'm going to see if my co-host is here because I think he's here as well, DV.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, DV, what's good? How you doing? How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I love your voice. Sound a little cute.
Hey, yeah, we do a little rapping on here, too. We do that, yeah. We do that, too, on Word Sexy. So. Well, it's a cute little voice. I mean, well, we don't know how old you are, but, you know, hey, you sound young, but it's okay. We know you can handle yourself.
technically I'll be 26 on Thursday. So
yeah, you're still young.
Okay, you are young. Okay.
I am young.
But that doesn't mean you wet behind the ears either though, so okay.
No.
Okay, so ladies, between the two of you, okay, I'm gonna save Shamora for last because she's my girl. Not that y'all are not. But I have a special thing I'm going to do with her, so I'm going to save her for last. So, Miss T.P. Miller, tell us about yourself.
Well, of course, I'm from Birmingham. I am the mother of two children. I have a great husband. He's asleep on the couch now, so tired. And I write paranormal books. They're urban paranormal. I pretty much, you know, read paranormal. Don't get me wrong, I read everything else, and that's, you know, everything's good, but that's just what stuck with me.
I was going to say I love that genre because, you know, I'm stepping off into that as well, the paranormal.
Yeah.
So are you dealing with vampires? What are you dealing with? Succubus, incubus?
They are vampires. I wanted to give you guys, everybody's doing the vampires now, and it's kind of like it's overrated. Everybody's doing it. Nobody, you know, is all the same. And I wanted to sit back and kind of give them a feel of, you kind of forget they're vampires. You get so caught up in what they're going through, you almost imagine them as human until something comes up. And I wanted you to get that feel where it's like, you know, it's not, oh my God, I'm going to tear you apart and this, that, and the other. I mean, they're black. They're real. You know, they're real vampires, but, you know, it's not their. My catchphrase is, my vampires don't sparkle. They are what I consider the real vampires. Like, they're who you would see if you were going down the street.
Okay. All right, well, definitely. We definitely want to get into that. So what do you have out that's out right now that you have on the plate or that you got?
Well, of course, while I have Alpha Blood out, you can see that I'll be featured. I was featured in, before Alpha Blood came out, I was featured in Anna Jay's Erotic Snapshots 4, 5, 5. And I'm working on, I just submitted another erotic anthology. It's actually with my company, All of the Ladies of Anaxandra Books. We're getting together. And we're doing a kind of a 7 Deadly Sins anthology that's supposed to be coming out in February. So that's pretty much it besides working on book number 2.
All right. Well, you know, to me, one thing I like about the paranormal is there is no way that you can have paranormal without sex, especially when it's vampires or whatever. That it's just part of it. There's no way you can do it, to me, I think, without having the sexual piece to it, because vampires are sexual beings, even though they fuck you up. I mean, they are it's how they come at you. Even with the old Dracula movies and stuff. You know, he woos the women and gets them down, and then he takes the blood, you know, that kind of thing. So the sexual piece is what I like. So is there a lot of that going on in your paranormal erotic urban?
No.
No? You don't have that?
I wanted to kind of build on. There was so much going on. I wanted you to see just how crazy this whole situation is, because I'm not going to give anything away.
There's a lot going on.
I mean, they're a married couple, it's obvious. But, you know, I wanted you to see that there's this crazy person messing around, and they had to deal with that. Like, she's so driven by what she has to do. Everything else is kind of on a different level compared to what she needs to accomplish before any, you know, any personal thing could happen. But I do make a plan. I do have plans to change that in the second one.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to getting that. I usually try to read the books before the guests come on, but I didn't get a chance to do that this time. But I still want to get those books because I do want to read. Because like Eric was saying earlier, you know, it's important. If you're a writer, you definitely want to read. If nothing else, you just want to kind of get idea of what everybody else is doing. Not that you want to copy the style or anything. It's just getting different ways of how things are done. And you might get an idea and say, well, I could have did mine something like this, or you know, just learning. It's a learning process. So yeah, I definitely want to read.
Yeah.
So. Now, let me see, is DV. Is DV on here?
Yeah, it's me, man.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey,
this is my co-host, DV Hint, and he is a author as well, and this man is phenomenal as well, and I wanted you to go ahead and say hi to our guests. We have Eric S. Gray. You know, he's been around for quite some time in the game and doing his thing, and we got T.P. Miller, who you just heard, and Shamor. We're going to get her in a few minutes.
Okay, it's a pleasure meeting y'all. Like, you know, I was listening to the conversation about vampires. And, you know, I don't know. I like my vampires gruesome. I don't like them friendly, you know, which is why, you know, I can't watch.
They're not exactly happy, no, but they're definitely different.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the era, you know, like Red. Dracula was bad, you know, seduction meant
yeah.
He was turning you. You know, type of that interview with a vampire, which is why I can't
right.
bring myself to watch things like
oh,
Twilight.
You'll like the villain.
Yeah, we like shit like that.
Yeah, you know. But even something like Blade, you know, I can imagine a half vampire, half human kicking ass. You know, I can watch that.
Right,
shit.
Right.
You know, if you
right.
was like, hey, let's watch Twilight, I'm about to stab you in the eyeball because I'm not watching it. You
yeah,
because
that's
just
too love story-ish. I mean, it's nothing wrong
right.
with that, but that's
yeah.
just
they
not
didn't,
for me.
I mean, what's next? You know, Frankenstein in love? I don't want to see that. Frankenstein is a monster. You know, I don't want to see him hugged up and I don't want to know about his feelings. All
right,
I just don't.
Right. Well, they showed enough of that in the old movie when he was, you know, with the fire and all that stuff. But anyway.
Right.
That's a different twist, though. I mean, I have to give it to you. Your twist is good. We're not dogging you. We're just saying it's a different twist. But the vampires that I write about, they some fucked up motherfuckers. And they get what they want. But that's my story. That's not yours. Everybody's got their
right.
own. Right.
We all need to put our own twist. Which
right.
is why probably Twilight is the phenom that it is. You know, it puts a completely different story, a completely different twist on an old story.
Right. So, and I know yours is interesting. That's why I want to read it, because I want to check it out. I definitely, and you know, want to see how it is and how you take the characters and how you present them and all that. So we're definitely going to do that. That's going to be good. So. And you know, there's an audience for whatever all we write, all the genres that we all write in. Just know that there's somebody that wants to read that. You know, we just got to understand that.
Literally.
And we have to find those people that want to read it so we can get it to them. That's the thing. And I'm a writer. I don't consider myself an urban writer because I'm not. I write to people who like to read. So I try to not have that background, but those who write urban fiction, that's their thing, that's what they do. I'm not knocking that. What I'm saying is you have to find your audience who you're looking for, and that's who you go after. So that's all I'm saying, and that's what you got to do. So now there's area code 404. Do you have a question? Okay, they're just listening good. All right. So did you have anything else you wanted to tell us, Miss T.P. Miller?
I'm going to be doing an event. I think Eric is coming with us. It's going to be September the 15th. It's going to be in Atlanta. We're basically doing a book fair for the Word on the Street. So if you guys are in the area, by all means, come out, get all of your books signed by some of the hottest authors that are pretty much in the area. And we're just going to come out and have fun and by all means come out.
Okay. So that's going to be in Atlanta with Lisa, right?
Yeah. With Lisa's mm-hmm. event.
Right. Okay. Yeah. She said, I think she's going to be on here later on. That might be her 404. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that might be her. I'll pull her in a few minutes. But all right, Miss Sexy Shamor, we made it for you. Now
today,
it's your turn. This woman. say what?
That's not my. That is not the first name.
Well, say your name, baby. You know, I be fucking shit up on this show. You know that.
I was just saying, can it just be Shamore?
Oh, well, how come I can't say sexy Shamore? I mean, if I think that, that's my damn opinion, right?
You're right.
Right,
it
Eric?
Is your opinion.
Eric, you still here? Eric, you still here?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. If I think somebody's sexy, I should say that shit, right?
Yeah, I
say it all the time. Yeah. So I don't know what the fuck she talking about. That ain't my first name. You know, hey. TP got a first name. She's sexy, too. But still, I mean, if I want to say sexy TP, how you going to come back and tell me that? Anyway, y'all use the word sexy radio. Y'all know how I am on this show. So if you don't know, this is supposed to be like XM Radio, internet version-wise. You know what I'm saying? It's explicit. We talk shit, so that's what we do. Now, Sexy Shamore, ready to tell us about you and what's going on with you.
Well, right now I am debuting my first novel, which is A Lover's Redemption, and it's been a long time coming. This is my baby, so I'm so excited to be able to go ahead and put that out. It's been in the workings for many years, so... I'm also working on an anthology, which will actually feature some of your work with a long list of other great writers, where I get to be the publisher. So that's really cool.
I appreciate you letting me be in your book because it's hard to get in your book, especially with what's the brother, all the people that's in here? We got Sheila Goss, we got...
Rory
say some
Therese.
Of the authors. Omar Tyree. I mean, we got a few authors, you know, that's been around in the game for 20-some-plus years or whatever, and right. Little Old Red Snapper, who only been around since 2009, actually publishing, been writing before that, but publishing since 2009. I feel honored to be able to write or have my pen inked next to some of their work. So that's good. Yeah, it's like it's an honor to talk to Eric, because Eric's been around for a while, and he gave me his story. He gave us a story a few minutes ago that he loves it, and, you know, I've been keeping up with him, too. You know, I mean, it's all of y'all. I like what I do as well, and I love authors, and I like talking to people that's serious about getting out here doing their thing and putting the word out there the way they want to, you know, so people can read it. So, yeah, but go ahead and tell us.
So, Red?
Yeah.
Did you ask me a question?
Yeah.
I asked you what the hell you're doing. No,
yeah, and did you start talking? I was talking. Can you wait a minute with that?
I'll shut up. Go ahead, baby. Go.
Okay, thank you. That's
there you.
Thank you.
There you go. See? Okay.
And so I'm also working with Passion Ink Press, trying to build my group of writers there. And I've got a couple of people who seem interested in publishing through me. So that will be the next thing that takes up all my time. But it's something that I want to do. So, and I'm working with Beverly Black Johnson with that, and she's been my mentor for many years, and she's done a great job at pushing me out to the forefront because I was happy in the background. I did a lot of editing before I even looked to do any kind of writing publicly. So it's been a journey.
So is it one that you enjoyed or one that you don't want to be on or what?
I've enjoyed parts of it. There have been parts that have tested my faith, but I've overcome, and so here I am, and I'm not going to complain. That's not something that I try to do, so it made me who I am. Shake me.
Okay, putting on your publisher's hat right now, I mean, kind of tell us some of the authors that you have under your wing right now.
Because I don't have any paperwork on those people, I'm not going to put any names out there, but there are people that I've come to know through Facebook who haven't done anything with their talents. And one of the things that I really look at is I want writers. You know, I don't want people who are striving to be authors. I want people who have a passion for what they
right.
put in their craft. And
right.
I've come to know some people who really are about their craft and not necessarily about what kind of money can I make. And so those are the people that I am looking to work with. Now, one person that I'm trying to work with. I just feel like it would be nice to work with Omar Tari and publish a piece of his work under my umbrella. And, you know, so he and I have talked about that. So I don't know if that's going to come to fruition, but, you know, we've talked about it.
Okay. Well, you know, you just keep working toward that. He seems to be I don't know him that well, but he seems to be someone that you can probably, you know, get to do that. So, I mean, and there's a lot of people out here who love to write. Just because they may have been around for a while doesn't mean that they don't, you know. And then there are some that's out here for the money, and those usually don't last that long anyway, unless they've been in the game for a while. And then you got some that don't like the way the game is now because, you know, it's with technology and everything the way it is, you know, it's easy to get published now. And a lot of people came through the hard way and through the mainstream companies and stuff. So they feel like everybody else is coming behind them now. It's like they think they're getting over or something. But, you know, that's in all genres of anything, music, whatever. You know, technology is going to make it easier for everyone to be able to do certain things. So it doesn't mean that you're not just as good as them because they went through a certain way. Yes, you paved the way. Those who did that paved the way for others to be able to come out. But, you know, you still have to have the same love and hopefully for your craft that you don't want to just put some garbage out there just because it's easy to do. So,
right.
So, DV, you got any questions for our guests?
Oh, no. I mean, like, I kind of want to expound on something you said. I don't think it – you know how it is, man, especially when it comes to writing – everybody wants to be one of two things. They want to be famous or infamous, you know, and writing is kind of the easiest way, the easiest stepping ladder to all of those. I mean, because if you want to get in the music game, you got to put in demos. You got to put in thousands and thousands and thousands of hours and more money than you probably got just to make a demo, you know. When it comes to doing anything professionally, you got to put in hundreds and hundreds of hours of school or, you know, some class or some program. And writing seems to be that one thing that you don't have to put all of those hours in, but you can still make something. So, you know, Eric hit on it, you know, perfectly. You know, there are some people blessed enough to tell stories, and then there are some people who need practice telling stories. You know, and now what I see in writing, and I think a lot of us see in writing, is that there's a lot of people who don't want to put in the time. They'll put in a half-assed story, and then it makes us all look bad. You know, so what I'm kind of leaning to, which is why I know, you know, when everyone says, you know, I'm looking for this author who's not about the money, who's about the passion, that what we're really saying is we want somebody who's all about passion, who loves the idea of writing, who will write at the drop of the stone, won't give us attitude or lip or problem, and somebody who's focused on putting their best foot forward rather than somebody who's like, okay, so now that we get this book together, what am I going to get paid? You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of think that's what is happening because we've basically opened the floodgates to allow anybody who can put a pencil to paper, do it. And this is, you know, there's no vetting process anymore. Nobody gets... you know, it has to go through a process in order to get published. And I think that's what the disheartening thing is. I mean, if everybody put their best foot forward, we wouldn't have this problem. But as
right.
It is, some people are all about, you know, putting the half foot forward, like doing things half-assed, but then expecting their pockets to be full, you know.
Right. And I'm going to ask Eric if he want to, because I think he's been in the game longer than all of us, so I want to ask him to expound on that if he'd like.
I mean, I feel that's everywhere, though. That's not just right. That's in video, too. Look at YouTube. You need the digital camera to put anything up there, and it's up there. So I felt that this age is allows you to do anything easier. So, I mean,
yeah.
But even with video, people put stuff on YouTube, and what happens? They're not proud of it. That thing follows them everywhere they go for the rest of their life, you know?
I mean,
it's kind of like a blessing, but it's a curse. But you got more knuckleheads, you know, thinking about, you know, their instant fame rather than thinking about the repercussions.
But I feel the same way. I feel it's the blessing and the curse because, you know, you got people that want to do it and don't know how to do it. My thing is, if you want to do it, first of all, do your homework, research, know the fundamentals first. A lot of people are not doing it. They just putting shit out there to say I did it. All
right,
yeah, well, and quality work. And then write a thing, just think too. Why would you write a book and put all your work into this, and then you're putting out half-assed covers or synopsis, or your format is whack, you know? I mean, think about your packaging too.
Right.
About your cover, your synopsis, your back, your layout. Everything matters. I see books that are written really good.
With terrible covers.
Whack. Cover, you wouldn't even give it a second look. And this is an industry where you need to stand out. Because there's so many, I mean, they say it's saturated. But I mean, I kind of say yeah and yes and no. But at the same time, like, you want your books on that shelf. You want somebody to see that cover and be like, oh, that title.
So, you know, I'm glad you said that, because we talked on this show several times, and we're going to get the ladies involved in this too, where there's a lot of, especially not just urban fiction, I'm not picking on urban fiction, but a lot of covers we see, they have the skyline, they have the car or something, the woman or whatever on the front, and it doesn't matter what the story's about. It seems like everybody's trying to set their covers to look the same, and I think that if you're not trying to get, or either they're trying to get a certain type of audience or something, but if you want to just be, what do you think about that? I think that, yeah, I mean, what do we do about that? It's how we present ourselves, that then they automatically put us in a category. What do you say about that?
I mean, the one thing about these bookstores, I noticed that everything, like, no matter what genre your book is, they're going to put everything in African-American section. That's what the Walmart always, Borders did, Barnes & Noble. Yeah, your book could be science fiction, romance. If you're black, you put it in the African-American section. And we had a talk about this, really, saying this one author, she wrote science fiction. And she was upset because she went to Borders of Barnes & Noble and she seen her book under African-American. And she made a big beef about it. Like, why my book under African-American? It's sci-fi. Why can't I be over there with sci-fi writers? And, I mean, you know what? We are stereotypes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's up to that author, though. It's up to
the
individual.
It is. That's what I was going to say. It's up to the author, because I've been lately, and this is just something new that's just starting, though, but you're right. It's mentioned. Interesting you said that. I was in a Barnes & Noble a couple of days ago, and they actually now don't have just the African-American section anymore. I think people have been complaining. They're starting to change. I'm not saying it's done all over everywhere yet, but it's getting to a point now where they're trying to mix all the books together and, you know, in by category now. So I can understand her being upset if she's writing sci-fi, but how does she present that? Did she let everybody know she was black? You know, and it's a shame that we have to do that. It's kind of like back in the day when we were doing music and everybody, you know, they didn't want to put black faces on the cover. And we talked about this before on here too. You know, they put other covers, faces there so they could sell
those and shoes.
So do we have to go backwards with this? You know, do we have to do that with our work? Do we have to, you know, I mean, what do you think about that? Ladies, please chime in on this.
I mean, my thought about it is just, me, I try to be tasteful with my cover. Like, if you go on Amazon, my book cover, my book covers, I better stand out, because first of all, I felt that sometimes you need to get a photographer and shoot your own cover, but sometimes, you know, you get these Photoshop covers. Everybody's using the Photoshop covers. And I hate to see, like, when I do a cover from, I take a Photoshop picture and do a cover out of it, and then 6 months later, I see the same photo with a different title. Like,
oh, somebody else's
book.
Yeah.
Right. That just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Like, damn, man. And I felt like my thing is too, but when I think of a new title, first thing I do is I go on Amazon.com and I put that title in a search engine. He would come.
That's what I do too. To see if somebody has it already. Yeah.
See if somebody has it already. You don't want the title with the fourth person with that title in it. I mean, it's just corny to me. I mean, that's your homework. Google.
Yeah.
I mean, you Google something and you see the title at least two or three times. Change it up.
I mean, my thing, like, you know, and I'm not gonna cut off any ladies. I really want to hear them. I think we're really getting to that point, and Red and I talk about this all the time, where it's a double-edged sword. You don't have an African-American section, and now nobody knows where to look for your book. You do, and everybody knows what section to stay away from. You know,
right.
So kind of like that double-edged sword, but let's be honest. And I talk, like, and whenever I meet white people, I talk to them about this all the time. I said, there's this racial disparity where you automatically assume that because it's a black writer that you won't understand what the book is about. I said, the human condition is universal. It does. You may not understand the lingo that is used or the phrasing. I said, but you understand the story. And, I tell that to black people about Mexicans. I was like, when's the last time you read a Mexican book or a book by a Japanese writer? You know, simply because we don't live in the same place don't mean we don't have the same stories to tell. It's just that people automatically assume that they won't understand, you know, their culture or their point of reference simply because it's written by somebody with a different skin color.
Right. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's you know, a lot of people think the book is the brand, but the person, the author, is the brand. And
that's what I'm about
you
to
have
say.
You
have to brand your name, too. It's like, and to me, that's what I'm trying to do, is like trying to – see, this is my problem. When I first started in this business, I wrote a book called Booty Call. Everybody knew about Booty Call, but they didn't know the author. They said, Eric,
right.
Who? She wrote Booty Call. Oh, I know that book. I hated that. I'm
right.
Like, you know the book before you know the author. So I have to be versed. I'm glad they know the book, but if you don't know my name and I put on another book, you don't know who is this person? So
exactly.
I try to brand. I said I felt like I'm trying to be like Nike or McDonald's or something. When you see that name, somewhere you know what to expect, you know the quality of work, you know what I'm putting out. You know,
right.
I mean, it's hard. It's like you said, it's hard because like you say, and I'm in New York. New York is fucking rude.
Yeah.
I'm in the streets pushing my book, and they look at you like you fucking got two heads.
They do that everywhere, man. It's just New York shit. I'm in Kansas City, and the motherfuckers look at me like that, too, so.
Yeah,
it's New York.
Hey. Y'all try writing erotica in the South, all right? Y'all
hey,
try
I know. Being a male writing erotica, period.
Right.
You know, that's some shit that they don't think me can do. Only my frat brother, I guess they think he's the only one that can do that, Eric Jerome Dickey. But other than that, you know.
You're not good. Well, man, I'm one of them. I can write erotica. My first book was erotica.
Exactly.
My first book was Booty Call. In the first chapter of that book, I was like, yo, I'm getting this book. Oh, my God. What? So, if you know about sex, if you know, like, to me, when I'm doing erotica, I love words. I love words play. So I'm doing a lot of. I like to tell a story in a poetic form. That's just come to sex, you know.
Right.
It's just stimulating a mind, a female or a man, whatever. And I had dudes come up to me like, yo, you wrote that book? Yo, my girl is loving that shit, and I'm fucking every night because of you, son. Word.
yeah, I heard shit
so
too.
I'm
man.
Like, yeah, that dude's like, word. I actually want to say, I'll be in your book, and I'm like, God.
Ladies, what are y'all? I want to hear from you. Y'all in the back there. What's going on?
They quiet. I guess the man took over.
Ladies,
and
y'all still here because I see you. So we want y'all to chime in and tell us what y'all think. I mean, you know, with covers. What do you think? When you choose covers, do you have that authority in your, you know? Just tell us about that. How do you go by that? You do it by your characters or, you know, do you think about this?
I wanted to, when I picked the cover out for Alpha Blood, I wanted to incorporate a lot of what you were going to get out of the book, which is you're getting a black female, you're getting a black female vampire, you're getting a little bit of the Egyptian culture, which is where the background comes from. And so I wanted it to mesh in a way where you can see, how did they piece it together? And that prompts you to go and either look at the synopsis and try to figure out and say, well, okay, you know, this sounds good. I'm going to, you know, try it. At least flip through it and see if it's something, you know, I didn't want to have. And if anybody has a cover like this, I'm not being, you know, I'm not stabbing anybody, but I didn't want to have some big booty chick or, you know, flashing just for some book, because that's not what this is about.
Right. When you did your book, I'm sorry, I didn't try to cut you off. Go ahead, finish. Now I'll ask you a question. No, I was going to ask you, now, you did this book yourself, Out for Blood. Did Nika help you with that, or is she involved some type of way, Nika Michelle?
Nika, she was my editor.
Oh, okay, yeah, because we know her, too, and she's been on here.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking. Yeah.
She did my editing. Yeah, so... But
well, Nika's a freak, so that's why I was asking. So it's some freaky shit in the book or what? I'm going to have to get this book. Because you trying to act like you don't want to tell nobody what's going on in this motherfucker. So I'm
going
to have to go on and get my own copy. Which I want a copy.
That's
so can I get a copy for you signed? I'll buy it. I just want a copy of the book.
Sure.
And Eric, I want to get some of your stuff too, brother. I definitely want to get some of your stuff. So I'm going to do that.
Just inbox me the email.
Okay. Now, Sexy Shamor, are you still there? Or did you drop off?
I'm here.
Since you getting on me calling you sexy. Anyway, so what do you think? I want you to chime in on this, too. Now, what do you think about that? I mean, presentation, you know. When you get ready to put this book out that you're putting out, I think I've seen
right.
the cover of that book. Now, it's quite beautiful. I mean, it's a great cover. When you went through that, what was your thought process?
You know, again, my journey has had some ups and downs. So this is the second cover to this book. The first cover was horrendous. And I was offended by the first cover that I received, that someone would take my beautiful words and create what was created. So when I got the second cover done, I simply presented the company with a synopsis and very little direction. I just kind of told them what the experience was before, what that person provided me with that I did not like, and I just said, take it. And what was created, it brought me to tears because I had already been through. And the concept that the that Brand Concepts used was almost a movie playing out on my cover. It was all of the important facets of my story, and they were all depicted on the cover, and it was amazing for me. So what I like about my cover is it intrigues you. I mean, it brings you in to kind of want to say, what the heck is this book about? You flip it over, and you read the synopsis, and that grabs you too. So it's just the way that it kind of created all of the interest in what's happening in those pages. So.
Right. A lover's redemption in the beginning, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be tight. I love it. All right. So we definitely want to get you these books because I know I like reading and I like to see what other people are doing and how they do it, you know, so I can try to keep my own style where it is. But I just like reading, just like Eric was saying. You know, he likes to read as well. And I don't know how you can do this, I guess, without kind of reading. You got to have some kind of love in reading. How are you going to tell a story if you don't know how it's being told or how it's been told before? And you want to make sure you're not telling it the same as someone else. And, you know, it just you want to have your own flip, even if it's the same story. You know, you want to have your own twist to it or whatever. So you don't want to, you know.
But I wanted to, that's just something that I heard you say. I actually prefer to read erotica that's written from a male perspective. I don't actually, well, I'm not going to say I don't like, but that's my preference. So to hear
well,
you say
good.
That people don't think that men can write erotica just kind of threw me for a loop.
Well, you know, when I first started, because I started in that genre, and I have 12 books out myself. Eight of them are nine of them are erotica. So my thing is when I was coming into it, I can only speak from my experience.
You write something up to erotica?
Yeah. Well, all my shit's sexual, paranormal, but still, it's like I was telling TP, you know, it's still, you know, it's got to be sex in it. But anyway, I actually put a self-help book out once, but we ain't going to get into that. Anyway.
No, I don't even want to know what they were helping themselves to. I just don't.
Well, it was actually losing weight. Because I lost 110
okay.
pounds. But anyway, the thing is this. Like I said, you know, everybody is a Zane. They follow Zane. They follow, you know, different people that's been in the game for a minute that's been doing it. And people do say there's a difference in the male side of erotica than female. I try my best, and I'm going to get off of me because I'm going to let everybody else speak on erotica, because we have actually all the men here write erotica or have written it. So we're going to get their perspective. I just like doing it, and I like the way I do it because it's not like a woman. You know, even though my characters are mostly women, I think it's just it's how I explain it from the male point of view, or, you know, the godlike thing, because I like writing in third person anyway. So I think I only have one book that I've written that I've written in first person. That was hella, it was hard because it was a memoirs, so it had to be. It was different people telling their piece. So to me, it wasn't a struggle, but it was different. But I just like, I think that erotica, you know, women's version of it is different because women, you know, they have their own way of how they feel and stuff. But I think, I don't know, I just, it's interesting that you say that because a lot of women, you write erotica, I just, you know, they always reading women write, or so Harlequins or whatever you want, romance stuff, you know, that type of thing. So, so Dee Dee, you want to chime in on that? Have you heard that before?
Yeah, like, I'm going to be honest with you. The very first erotic novel I ever read was called The Happy Hooker. It was written by Madame X, you know.
Right.
And so, like, I was basically like, man, this is interesting, because she basically chronicled her life as a
prostitute, yeah. Right, yeah, I remember
you
that.
Know, and
it used to be on HBO or something, didn't it?
I don't know.
It was a series. It was a series for a while in the early late 80s or 90s. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that, like, you know, that was cable. We was broke back then, you know. But but like, in all honesty, when it comes down to writing erotica, I've always wanted to tackle something that was taboo, that something that people automatically assume was bad, and try to make something of it. And that, I guess that's my greatest curse, simply because I like writing things that are out of the ordinary. I've written erotic stories about a man who considered losing his masculinity to be with the woman that he wanted to be with. You know, I have like a fractured personality. I always write in first person, because whenever I'm writing, I see through the eyes of that particular character. So every character that you read for me is a completely different aspect of my personality. So
that had to be interesting, writing that shit. You know, the person changing their sex to be with somebody else who is going after the opposite sex or whatever. I mean, you know, that was definitely different.
I mean, the thing about writing that you always want to do is you want to do better than you did before, and sometimes that means tackling something that you've never done before, because you can't become great unless you start doing great things. If you always settle into what you're comfortable with, you'll never be great, because you'll basically be repeating yourself. So I've always taken that to heart. And the only way that I can become better as a writer is to tackle things that are out of my norm, that are, you know, in my mind, more difficult than what I'm used to. Because we all have that threshold, something that we're not used to, something that we're not familiar with. And like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and tackle that and see what I can do. So the first time may not always be the best time, but if you keep tackling it, you're going to get better at it. If you get better at it, then that means you can move on to something else. I never wanted to be that type of writer that got stuck or typecast, or put in that role that, oh, he's that guy, you know, simply because the mind is so much greater than that. You know, the talent level amongst black people is so much greater than that. I mean, in my mind, we built the temples to, you know, within a 1,000th of a degree of perfection. So, I mean, writing a story should be like nothing, you know what I'm saying? And so that's the mindset that I take whenever I go and sit down at the computer and start writing. Like, I stand on the shoulders of greatness. There were people before me that wrote great, and I want to continue that tradition. You know,
right.
And that's why I
think that what TP is doing with her vampire version is needed, because it's a different way of looking at a story that's already been told.
Right.
And that's what we want to do.
Yeah, and as long as you do it well, you will have followers. You will have people
yeah.
that pat you on the back. You will always have people who identify with you. You
right.
know, I mean, but getting back to erotica, I love writing because it's an extension of romance. You know, it is like, and I tell people, erotica is a romance. What terror is the suspense. You know, you might read a suspenseful novel to make you hold your breath, but when you read a novel like a Stephen King novel or terror, you know, not only are you holding your breath, you checking, you making sure all the lights is on. You know, you making sure that clicking that you hear at the door ain't somebody, you know, key trying to get in your house. I mean, it adds that you know, that sixth dimension. You know,
right.
And if you can get there, books are supposed to make you walk away feeling like something. If you read certain novels, you know, you should feel a certain way after it. And if after reading an erotic novel, if you're aroused, then the author has done what they're supposed to do. If you read a horror novel and you're scared, the author has done what they're supposed to do. If you read a romance novel and you feel like hugging and kissing somebody and rubbing their feet, then the author did exactly what they were supposed to do. So, I mean, that's the kind of mode that I'm in and what I enjoy about, you know, writing erotica because, you know, there's nothing better. People say, oh, I loved your book. And then you say, okay, well, what happened afterwards? Well, we're not going to talk about that. And that's, as an author, these are the things that you enjoy hearing.
Exactly, yeah. And that's not like Eric was saying a few minutes ago about people have came to him and told him how much ass they got because they was, you know, read his books and shit. And I'm saying it like that. But, you know, I can understand that. You know, that's good. And like you said, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get that feeling or whatever it is that you're trying to get that you're trying to portray to them to get from your book. You want them to feel that. And what I love about it is when people talk about your characters like they're real people. That just turns me on when I hear people talking about characters in the book that I created, and they act like these people are real, and they actually see them doing these things. That's the objective that I try to do when I write. How about
right.
Anybody else that wants to elaborate on that?
I know
and your
yeah. one of the things that kind of helps shape what I do is when I went to college, I left a predominantly black experience and went to a private college that was everything but black. And so I had a whole lot of awakening in that experience with what I had been missing as far as education, how far behind I was with some of the other privileged kids that could run circles around me my freshman year. But by the time I graduated, I had a better understanding of what my deficiency was and where I had come to. And so one of the things that when I write, one of my favorite pieces that I've written is a short story that is a contemporary spin on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. And it was because the concepts in the writing that are all these classic authors, these are canon pieces of literature that people champion for ages, the concepts inside are typical concepts. It's very simple, very universal. But it's the way that they are put into writing that makes some of us feel isolated from understanding. And so I wanted to take and unlock all of that. And so part of what I do, if you read, you know, some of my other pieces, is I always try to bring some of that canon aspect, the language or the poetry or, you know, some of that into what I do so that at some point a person can read that and if they are forced to look at this piece of Shakespeare, they can say, I understand that story. That's the same thing that I read, you know, in something that Shamore wrote, you know, because the ideas, the concepts, the feelings, the emotions, all of that is all the same. It's just how you display it in your work. So that was one of the things that kind of shapes how I like to write because I want to challenge people, anybody, to understand a universal concept and in this language. You know, it's kind of like because I'm a teacher at heart by nature. That's what I do. So it always plays into what I do. So that's kind of what shaped my writing style.
Okay. Anybody else?
everybody quiet now.
No, yeah, because normally we talk right now, normally in this second segment, we normally be talking about relationships or something. But this is good because there's a lot of people out there that's listening, I'm sure, that are wanting to know, you know, just these authors that we're talking to tonight, how they come up with their characters, how they come up with the styles that they have, and what makes them unique from others. You know, that's good.
Like my character, like myself, some of my characters are based on real people somewhat. You know, I kind of embellish certain things, and sometimes my characters are made up. But like when it comes to erotica, I feel like if I'm writing erotica, stuff with yourself, because like if I'm writing a sex scene, and if I ain't hard and horny and ready to pick a phone call and jerk off, it ain't a good sex scene.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
There's a time when I'll be writing some stuff or reading some stuff, and I feel like, oh, God, Lord. I'm like, yo, I'm...
You're right. If you ain't aroused, how you expect somebody else to be aroused reading your shit? You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. If you ain't, like you said, hard, you're ready to jack off, whatever, then how you expect to get that that feeling from someone else? You just can't do it.
What I also do too is like I do like a test one sometimes. Like I'm big on Facebook and Twitter, so I might take an excerpt from one of my stories and I put it on Facebook or whatever, and I see the feedback. And sometimes, majority of the time, the feedback is mostly from ladies, and they want more. They're like, oh my god, yo, finish this. They want more. I love it though. I mean, because they don't want that on the weed. I mean. And I read this as females. That's how I feel.
Right.
So,
You know, that's the only way to do it, I think. The only way to do it is if it ain't working on you or somebody else, then how you expect it to work on others that you want to
do. Right.
And it also, of course, it depends on the people that you're trying to capture. You know, if they're, you know, there's different types. Like, you got romance stuff, you got different things, and you know, it just, you got to make sure that you know who you're trying to capture when you write. Like, my stuff is raw. I say what you're thinking anyway. All the shit that I write in my books, I mean, you ain't got to guess. It's there. You stuck his dick in her ass. You know, it's there. You don't have to guess that shit, you know. Some people put metaphors or they use different, you know, words to describe stuff like, you know, different things. You know, if that's what they want to do, and some people want that. But some people want that hard, raw shit. You know, that's why I have the audience that follow me. But then you have some that want to hear the hot box or the whatever. They don't want to hear the exact word because they feel that they want that imaginative piece to make them whatever. Everybody's got their own little way of what they want, you know. So we have to figure out what it is and provide that to the audience that we're doing. So, you know, like I said, my shit's hard, raw. I do the raw shit. So that's what I got.
I got a book called It's Like Candy. That book is raw. That book is about, it's about pimping, it's about hoes, it's about the track. And it's raw. It's very raw. My thing is, like, I'm not shitting for my life for anybody. I'm very raw. I mean, I'm to the point where I could easily offend you. Like, see, what the fuck? That's how I am. You know?
Right.
And if you don't like it, you don't read it. But, like, I like to tell the truth. And, like, an erotica is not just not like rolling around in the sheets and kissing and all that stuff, like, yeah, whatever. No, I just walk back alley, think over the car, fucking shit on a shorty. That's erotica, too. Some people like it like that.
You know, some people, like you said, I think that's erotica, but some people might say that's porn and shit, you know, but it's not. All of my books, if you take all the sex out of my books, you still got a story. You know, you still want to have that. You don't want it to be just so much sex that that's all that's going on. Then it is porn.
I agree. Like,
you got to make sure there's a story there. Yeah, and but this, you want the sex to be hot though, because you want the sex to carry you from one piece to the next. That's what I try to do. So
if there ain't no story, it's just porn.
Right.
Right.
So they walk on the door, member comes in. Oh, how you doing? Oh, nice uniform. Put on the pants, and that's the straight roll for me. But,
yeah.
It depends on the writer, though.
And also you want to, I'm sorry, but what'd you say?
So it depends on the writer.
Yeah, that's true.
Because my erotica piece, there's sex, but
there's a certain words I don't say. I don't say on the for real, you know.
But guess what? But it's nothing wrong with that. Nobody is saying that. I've read some of your stuff. Your stuff is beautiful. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not just saying it because we're on the radio. I told you this before when you let me read it. It's the author, what they want to portray, and how you do it is how well you portray it. You don't have to say dick and ass. I just do that because that's me. But that doesn't mean that if you don't say dick and ass or whatever in your writing and you're using other things, that doesn't mean that you're not an erotic writer because people like
right,
that.
Right, because I think
it's too hot.
Yeah, I'm just saying that because that plays into the authenticity of your work. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable saying certain words, it's not going to flow.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, I like it, like, the substitute words, too. Like, you know, it's like, you fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, I try to do, like, cheap, piston stick into. So, yeah, I like to. Like,
you have to switch it up.
The flow. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you do. That transition, like, making, like, you know, foreplay, you know, just. I mean, like you said, it's different for everybody else.
But the thing is, there are some people who write in a poetic sense, and there are some people who write in a raw sense. Even if, no matter how much poetry you put in there, sometimes you're going to have to, you know, especially if it's romance or whatever, you're going to have to use words like, right, you're going to have to use words like thrust and pound and, you know, shit like that.
Right.
But
right.
In the same token, if you're writing an erotic raw novel, you can't use dick and pussy every time you're trying to describe it. Dick. Because at some point, people will be like, this dude said dick 393 times in his book. And, you know,
exactly. You're right. And you're absolutely correct.
I've read books like that. I didn't know how to express themselves in a way, so all they use is pussy, dick, fuck.
Right.
Fuck.
And you're like, I can't read this no more. I can't do it.
You're right, and some people want that, some don't. You're right. But the thing is it's up to the people that you're trying to get your audience. So my thing is, yeah, you don't want to use dick ass all the time. Like, in my books, I don't use dick a lot. I do, but I mean, I don't use it at every time it's going on. But, you know, like I said, going back to Shamora, what I read is she sent me, it was poetic, but it was still hot. You know what I'm saying? And that's her style.
Right.
Some people, you know, you can change up stuff. I'm like, I'm using some of her words now because that shit was, I love it. Like, pleasure spot, I'm starting to use that shit. You know, some of that stuff is good, you know, but my thing is if people are reading your stuff and they've been reading you a while, they know your style, and if you're using dick all the fucking time, then that's, and they like it, then
there's a market.
But the thing is, you know what I'm saying, but yeah, you do want to change it up. You want to use Hotbox or Tool or Shaft
or you know, her Butterfly,
Woman Hood, or,
you know, her Cupcake,
you know, Poo Nanny. You know, you want to use different terminology, but you also, especially if you're writing to more than black people, and I try to write, I stress that. I do not want to just write to African Americans. Nothing wrong with us. But a lot of times we ain't reading. I want to get everybody. I want people that like to read. So I have to make sure that what I'm putting in there is something that they can handle. You see what I'm saying?
The audience that you should always have in mind is the type that reads, period.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't ever limit yourself.
But there are people that's writing only to African Americans, and that's why they make their covers look the way they do, and the language they use, because that's what they want, and there's nothing wrong with it.
They,
I'm not talking.
Well, they limit.
But what I'm saying is,
by doing that.
Well, they are, but that's what they want. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. You see what I'm saying?
I'm trying to be like Shades of Grey. That book is it's all over the place. And
yeah,
I heard about that.
It's garbage, but it's all over the place. You're right.
All over the place, but I'm like, I heard it's bullshit. It's all about sex, S&M, whatever, led to all kind of shit. I mean,
well, you know,
think,
it has a lot of reviews. If you go on Amazon, it's got over 5,000 reviews. But a lot of the reviews are,
well, they sold 10 million. So,
last I looked, it was over 5,000, but.
I'm just saying, what makes that book different from what we write? I heard this joke. Shades of Grey was high, but this African American writer I read better than her.
Right. There it is.
What's the difference?
The only thing is that, you know, she follows in the Amy Winehouse, what's her name? That's the other woman singer from England. She falls in that mindset where everybody's like, oh, it's so erotic and so exotic because they're from across the pond. You know, and all of a sudden, it's this old little housewife who's written this, you know, basically normal story, and she's getting all this play because she's supposed to be so erotic and exotic to us. The truth of the matter is, it's a boring story. But
it is, and I was going to say a lot of the reviews are bad. But the thing is she got it out there, and people are reading it. And it was a mistake how it got out there. She wasn't even really intending on making this what it is. It was a blog, and turned into what it is now. So, you know, it got out there. Somebody saw it and picked it up and liked it, and they got it out there like that. And I'm looking. I know it's going to be a movie. I'm pretty sure somebody's going to make a movie out of this shit. So, but how do we get our? And the question that was asked that I want to kind of address while we got 40 minutes left. Is how do we get our stuff out there like that? Because we can.
What I do is I had every venue. There's so many avenues. Like you got, all right, first of all, social sites, Twitter, Facebook. Second of all, I tell people stop being lazy and get out there on the streets and hit the pavement. Like I'm in the streets. I'm in the hood. Like doing this blog interview. You just gotta reach out there, man.
You know what I do, and I cheat. I make little business cards, and I go to erotic sections with authors that are not black. And I say, if you like this book, then you'll love this book. And I have a picture of each one of my novels, you know, and I slide it into the other book. Simply a way to expand the base that's reading you, because like Valentine.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna do that shit.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, it's all a hustle. So I mean, it works. I've gotten, you know, a lot more downloads and a lot more sales than I ordinarily would have because people are now, you know, people who wouldn't see this book before, they're now seeing it. So, I mean, it's all part of the hustle. Everybody has a different angle that they use. And somebody hit me it wasn't my original idea. Somebody said, look, this is what I do. You should try it too. So that's what I started doing. You know, they read erotica. No matter how you look at it, erotic story is an erotic story, no matter what color the characters are. I can make green characters. It still wouldn't make it any less erotic. So
well,
that's why
the green characters, they fucking in those books too.
Right.
You know?
So if they fucking in those novels and they fucking in my novels, I might as well introduce you to my characters.
Absolutely. And TP, we want your vampires to fuck, okay, baby?
Okay, I'll be sure to make sure that happens next time.
I don't want them to just be, you know, loving and shit. We want them to stick some, you know, they can get some blood, but we want them to have some sex too. I mean, you know.
With the ideas that I have going, that's definitely a possibility.
I'm just messing with you, baby. You do what you want. You know, I got a message. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, but yeah, what do we do? Because we have to get our stuff on fire like that. You know, the only book that I know that was African American that had that fire at one point was, you know, the greatest. What is that book that the rapper
the
wrote?
Coldest Winter Ever.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. You ask the average person out of 10 women, probably 8 of them is gonna say if they're readers, they're gonna say they read that. You know, it's just.
You know what I do too? I got a blog, erotica blog called It's Eric.
I'm just looking at the blog. I like them pictures you got on there, bro.
Yeah, that's my blog. blog is, you go to that blog.
Actually, I just copied some of them fucking pictures. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you bastard.
I know, but it's like my blog is like, I feel like it's a rabbit hole.
Man, give credit where credit's due. At least acknowledge that you jacked him from his website.
Well, I did, Jackie.
I did.
We'll be close to him. Just be like Jack from Eric S. Gray's website. And, you know, that
I
way
did.
Both of y'all helping each other.
I got this from his site. Yeah, you're right. But, yeah.
But go ahead. Let him
do that. It's nothing, like I said, there's nothing wrong with urban and all that. If that's a genre people write in, fine. It's good. But we just got to make ourselves... Like you said, we got to get that hustle out. I don't know what the 50 Shades of Grey did, but I'm trying to figure it out so I can get my shit out there like that. Because I just know, yeah, I'm gonna be arrogant. My shit's better than hers, but I got to get it out there. And all it was she put it out there in a certain manner that it got out where everybody caught on fire because you got black people praising it. Some that like that shit that think it's good, and then some that think it ain't nothing. You know, it's. But the thing is people's picking it up, even if they are finding out it ain't shit.
Yeah.
I want people to my book too. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the fire that we got to try to get. How do we do that?
I mean, first of all, we kind of need to start vetting each other's work. Better product that we put out there, let's be honest. When we were growing up, what they say, in order to be considered half as good, you got to be twice as good. You know, and when you put out something that's, you know, shit, basically for lack of a better word, you know, it pulls us all down. I just think that if we get to a point where we all start vetting each other's works, where we will not allow people who, you know, just out there to make a buck to put out a half-assed story, if we don't let them out there or we try to help them better their craft, it lifts us all up at the same time. Because let's be honest, the reason why we have 99-cent books is because no matter how great your book is, you want it to get noticed. And there's so much crap out there floating that people are willing to, you know, take 99 cents and say, okay, well, if it's good or bad, you only spent 99 cents. If we put quality work out there, we could all put our books at $2.99, $3.99, $6.99, $7.99, you know, the value of what we would buy, you know, if it was a paperback book. But as of now, because there's so much stuff out there flooding and not all of it good, you know, we kind of stab ourselves in the foot with it. So, I mean, my philosophy is. Oh, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was, you know, with this 99-cent thing, we talked about this before on here lots of times. All the work you put in, and you're going to put it out there for 99 cents.
99 cents.
I understand it. You put it out there for a little while like that. But my thing is you still lose it anyway, because anybody who has that Kindle, what is that thing that you pay for yearly with Kindle? You get the books free anyway.
No. You don't get it free.
Well, you're paying a price for the year, so you get to look at
what they do. This is, and yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm part of that program. There's a borrowing program on Amazon, and basically what it says is for 3 months, you can't put your book on any other website for download other than Amazon. Now, however many times your book is borrowed, Amazon puts the money, the price that you set for that book, into your account. So you don't lose out on anything. So depending on the number of times that your book is actually borrowed, is what you get paid for sales. And if anybody buys your book, you still get credit for that too.
Okay.
So they have something like 400, you know, they put like 400,000 a month, and then they'll show you how many times your book was borrowed. And based on the number of times that it was borrowed is what you'll get as far as compensation. The number of times that it was borrowed times the price of your download.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, like I said, you put a lot of work into it. And a lot of people will go out there and get a Kindle book from a mainstream company for $10. They're not putting them down. And I'm not saying you got to sell yours for that price. But what I'm saying is just think about what the work, if you're really putting your work in. I know people want to get noticed, and I know in this game we give a lot of books away and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, you gotta try to do something. You got to be smart about it, too. I mean, you know, you want to get noticed, but you still got to, you know, be business with it. So, I don't know. I just feel that I need to find out the strategy that these 50 Shades of Grey people, and I know it's because it came from across the water and that too, but there's got to be a way that I can get my shit out there like that, and I'm going to find it. And when I do, I'll share it. But I just want to get mine out there because I know my books, and I haven't really read it, but everybody who tells me about this, they tell me, I ask them, I said, what did you get out of the book? What is it that you got? First, they got it because everybody else was talking about it. And then when they picked it up and read it, a lot of them were saying, well, it ain't what I thought. It's not, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So, but the thing is, it doesn't matter if the book was good or not.
Miracle of marketing.
People pick it up. And I want the people to do that to mine. But I want my book to be good, of course. But I want to get the buzz out like she did or however way they did it. You know, and I know Oprah probably picked it up, even though she don't have a show anymore that's on regular television. You know, if she touches it, you know, everybody's going to buy the damn thing. Even if
I don't think
shit.
Oprah ever promoted an erotic novel, but that's just me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she was into that damn, I mean, she's done a couple. I mean, they just haven't been probably blatant erotic like what we write. But I mean, look at that Being Beloved bullshit that Toni Morrison put out. Now it was a good book, but the movie was fucked up. I mean, you know, I saw it, you know, and it was just crazy. But anyway, that was kind of erotic a little bit, but not really. You couldn't do all the erotica in it because of the, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I think if people like Steve Harvey and Michael Bayes and all these cats, you know, to put out stuff, and people are listening
and
to them.
And re-put out stuff. Michael Bayes is re-putting out his books. Like, hey, I read this book, but now it's got a new cover.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
you know.
That's what you do. You know, you ain't had it out there in a couple of years. People forgot about it. They may forget what's in it.
Right. So let me ask you now, Eric, are you doing some touring here pretty soon or what?
Well, next month I'm going to be in ATL.
In Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I'm Atlanta. I should be in Maryland, South Carolina, Charlotte. So, right at 4th, like October, I'm going to be in St. Louis.
Oh, you coming to St. Louis?
Yeah, I might come out to St. Louis in October. I think me and Quan coming out there.
When is that? Is that going to be like the second week of September or what? Because we got there the fall in the book literary conference.
No, I think St. Louis, probably at the end of October. October 26th.
Okay. Well, that's close to me. That's like 3.5 hours from me. So, if you do come this way, I'll come down there.
I was out that way a few years ago. I mean, it's a cool city.
Yeah. Hey, you get in the strip clubs, I'll talk to you about that. Anyway.
I already spent the strip clubs out there.
You've been on the east side over there? Okay, you already know what's up.
They got the whole, it's like a bunch of strip clubs in one section.
Yeah, pink slip, bottoms up, all that. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll talk about it because we don't want to disrespect the ladies on the show, but we'll definitely talk about that. I done had so much fun in that club. Anyway, back to the interview. So, TP, is that the only thing you got coming up is Atlanta? You got anything else going on after that?
I'm going to be in North Carolina. I'm going to be in October, too. It's going to be for the North Carolina homecoming, the college homecoming. That's kind of like our company event. So I'll be there. We'll probably have books there. Pretty much be able to meet all the Alexander family. Other than that, like we're going to do in Atlanta, we're going to come out, have some fun. I'm going to try and shop, but, you know, just come out and have fun.
Okay. Ms. Shamore, since you don't want to call you sexy, what you got going on? I seen you just was up there with one of my frat brothers, the crazy, what's his name? I can't even think of his name right now.
Cornell West.
Yeah, Cornell West. You up there hugging on him. He hugging on all the women. so you did that. So what you got coming up next?
Yeah, I have kind of been gone a bit, so I'm going to be kind of local. I got a book there coming up, Tell the Selma, that's going to be on the south side. So doing that end of August. And I probably will not be traveling the rest of this year because I got to get
Christmas gifts.
Fire and Desire out. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fire and Desire, that's right.
I'll be local. But I promise, I'll let you know if I travel.
Please do. And I'm anxious to see Fire and Desire become a book, though. I am. I really want to see how that's going to come out and what it's going to look like.
Well, I got my cover guy, and, you know, I got to meet him in person when I went to Atlanta. And so we discussed some high expectations for that cover. So,
man, I can't wait to see that book, boy.
That's a cover that I can't wait to see.
Right. I just want to see me in it. I'm just like, oh my God. Anyway, that'd be nice. So DV, what's up with you, man? I know you got some stuff coming up. I wish you was coming to St. Louis, man, but I know you're not. Mm-hmm. You came last year.
I did that one. But no, other than a few events here in Houston, there's an event in Austin that I'll be attending later on, I think it's this month. Don't give me the line, because the days have been like a blur. So other than that, like I said, September, I'm just kind of taking off for the family. I'm not even probably, not even going to be in the city of Houston pretty much the whole month. But then the first week in October, I'll be, harassing Tamika Newhouse in New York. So, we'll be doing.
Oh, you and Tamika.
We harass each other relentlessly. But, we always, when it comes down to it, we always support each other, I'll help sell her book.
I'm saying that in a positive, not a negative. She's a great girl. She's a hustler. I like saying that because I know how she is. She don't take shit.
Her ego tend to float, get real big. So, we basically balance each other out.
Right.
So I'm like, man, you better go somewhere with that. We play well with each other.
Right.
Like I said, it's a support system. So anytime, she like, look, something going down, I'm going to try to make it because I know she's all about business, and I respect that. So, going to be doing the Circle of Sisters in the first week in October. And then after that, I'm going to just really buckle down and get to writing all over again. Not right now, but, you sit at the computer and you like what you like, and then you're like, yeah, I don't like that. So, me and my computer, we're having issues right now. There's a lot of stuff that I'm typing on it that I don't like. So, just take a step back and do a little woosah and, get back at it.
Right.
Now, yeah, because at one time, wasn't he doing 6 rewrites at one time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that. But I'm a mood writer. I'm one of those people that if I'm writing, I'll be writing 6 different things depending on what mood I'm in. If I come to the house and I'm like, man, I'm in a good mood, I'll write a sex scene. If I'm in a bad mood, somebody needs to die, it'll be a completely different story. So it's just kind of one of those things where my attention, I work well under duress. I'm kind of like a procrastinator. If I know there's a deadline, then, I'll do what it takes. But if there's no deadline, I'm just kind of like float through it. So right now, there's no deadline. I'm going to float through it. But I know, when October hit, the deadline is December 31st for a lot of things. So, that's when I'm going to get my game face on and start doing what needs to be done.
Kind of like me. I'm the same way. I think I work good under pressure because when it's a deadline to come, I make it happen.
Right.
Right.
And then you put out the best shit whenever you're going to do all that stress.
Right. So, didn't you say you had a movie thing? You got a movie deal or something, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to do the film thing. I'm doing the acting thing, my debut acting, coming out October, November. I give acting a whole lot of credit because that shit is hard, yo. There's a lot of work into that. A lot of work.
Bro.
You got to remember the script and the wardrobe changes and back and forth in certain scenes, because like me, I never always thought I would be behind a camera, which I am too. But I'm not a dude where I try anything. It's like I'm not gonna get scared or fearful of not doing it. You never know. So, just acting, it just fell in my lap, and it's fun. Try to be behind the scenes too. I like scripts. Try to go into production things. But my thing is like this. What you said ago, you gotta wear, in this industry, you gotta wear many hats. You gotta do it all. You just get stuck. I feel you just get stuck on writing a book and you won't stay with it. You gotta do publishing. I feel you could be a writer. I ghostwrite too. I ghostwrite over 10 novels in the industry. I can't say the names though. But I'm, and certain books that I wrote, Trilogy are doing phenomenal. You know,
right.
And that's another story though. How you feel about that ghostwriting thing? Because a lot of people feel that if you get somebody to ghostwrite your book for you, that you're not really a writer. You're fake. But you know what? It pays money though. You know, I don't care what they say. I mean, they come to me to do a book. I charge you an amount, and they put their name on it, and it's whatever. But like I'm trying to do it all. You know, I'm trying to really, really establish myself, become like some kind of mogul in this industry. When it comes to literature, film, ghostwriting, poetry, business, whatever. So I'm saying you're gonna see me out there, no matter what. You're gonna see my name. You're gonna see my shine. You're gonna see what I'm doing. Like, cause I take this serious. You know, this is not something that I'm like a backdoor shit. Nah, this is my life, my livelihood. I love what I do.
Yeah, that's good, man. And it's good to be in something that you want to do, because a lot of people are not. You know, a lot of people are not doing what they want. Every day they're grinding and going to a job they don't want to go to or whatever.
Or not going to a job at all because they ain't got it no more.
You're right. Absolutely. So,
I mean, sometimes we like fear. I think fear paralyzes us from what we want to achieve, because, like, we fear something. Like, let me tell you something. When I started doing this script thing, like, 4 years ago, I know this producer. He did with 50 Cent, Nas, Queen Latifah, and we met in a club, and we exchanged numbers, but we didn't link up till 3 years later. And this is why I said what I do. It's like, what I do is sometimes I do email blasts. Like, I do an excerpt and I put out an email blast for people to read it. He read my joint and he was like, "Yo, who wrote this? Hey, yeah, Drew, come at me, yo, and how I drew about something." Like, off the strength of me send out an excerpt of one of my novels. So we linked up, and he wanted me to write a script for this for AZ. I don't know if you remember AZ.
Right.
Back in the day. Yeah, he wanted me to do a script for him. I ain't never wrote a script in my life. I write. If I didn't know shit about no screenwriting, no script, no nothing like that. He was like, yo, I like your writing style. I'm working on this film, with AZ. So I went to meet with AZ and him. And we talking, and he telling me the idea he want. And I'm like, damn. Like, I felt like, you know, I felt like, can I really do this? Because he was like, yo, you got style. You got, I like your words. So, you know, I said, you know what? Yeah, I could do it for you. Now, mind you, I never wrote a script in my life. And I told him, man, yeah, I could do it for you. He said, can you do it in 2 weeks? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
2 weeks? So I'm like, yeah, I could do it in 2 weeks. Yo, I'm going to tell you something. I left that meeting. I was scared of shit. I'm like, oh, fuck. Damn. But you know what? Fuck that. I went home. I downloaded, like, fucking 8 scripts. Started reading this shit. I got books on screenwriting. I called my homeboy up. He writes scripts. I talked to him. I got that shit done in 2 weeks.
That's what you got to do, man.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I got the screenplay thing of film and writing. Because it was just like, I was just kind of thrust into that shit. But that's why when I tell these writers, I tell these writers, because sometimes I get, they come at me like, yo, they fit, so they hear about the industry, about being jerked, about the ups and downs, and they hear a lot of the ugly. And I'm like, don't get intimidated by that. Cause all I going to do is set you back and paralyze you, you know? So, like, what should I do? I want to be in a bad contract, or I don't want my book to suck. I'm like, listen, first of all, you always think about the negative. Don't think about the negative. I mean, yeah, it's there. But focus on a positive thing about this, you know. And that's why I said, because if you let fear paralyze you, then you ain't gonna get nothing done. And a lot of these people, I spoke to, they let fear paralyze them. They got a good book, but they scared of, they scared let other people read their book because they feel like they're gonna take their story. Oh, I don't want somebody to take my story from me. I don't want somebody plagiarizing me. Like, oh, I don't want to be joked. Oh, I'm scared to get a negative review. I said, listen, first of all, people criticize the Bible. What makes you think you're going to write the perfect book? It ain't going to happen. It ain't never going to happen. It's through you. No.
Right.
I mean, that's one of my advice I tell a lot of these authors. Like, just do you. Just do it. Don't worry about the criticism. You got to be somewhat impervious to this shit. Cause you got to.
One thing I have to say is you got to have some thick skin in this, because everybody's not going to like what you write. They're not going to like what you wrote. I don't care but fuck how good it is. Somebody's not going to like it.
Let me tell you something.
So
one
you
time,
criminals that do.
And work with that. Funny story, I was in Brooklyn one time doing I was at a vendor doing a book signing, and I'm chilling. As a young lady comes up to the vendor, and she goes, "Oh, you got this new Zane book, so and so?" Like, "Nah, I don't have it." But he gave a booty call, and she looked at the book like it was a fucking play, like booty call, what? And I'm like, "You looking for a Zane sex book? And you criticized my shit because see booty call?" And he said, "No, I don't read your book." I'm like, "I mean, I'm gonna like, what?" Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it cut off.
No, you still good.
And then one time, it was this reader came through. Man, she saw my book on the table. She was like, "Oh, I like that book. It was whack. Oh, my God. I ain't nothing like it." But she didn't know I was the author sitting right there, and she fucking trashing my shit. Like, "Oh, that shit was whatever." And I'm like, "Word, you ain't like that?" I'm playing along. I'm like, "Word, you ain't like that book? I was about to buy it. What happened?" "Oh, nah. He was jumping in this side, and I'm acting like I'm going to read it, trying to buy the book, but she didn't know I was the author. But I fuck with people. I fuck with their heads." She's like, "Well, and he could have done this better. He could have done that better." I'm like, "Word, oh, my God, I'm going to buy the book. Nah, get this book. So the friend, he laughs. He like, "Yeah, you know who that is?" She's like, "No, who that? He's the author of that book." "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that was you. I said it couldn't have you." But I'm like, "Nah, listen, love. You ain't hearing my son. That's your opinion. That's how you feel." But I was like, but I took, you know what I'm saying, like, I learned from everybody. And this is when I first started this genre. So I'm saying, so I took what you told me, like I said, constructive criticism, and bettered myself.
Right.
So I'm saying, I could be nice dude, like, "Oh, you know what the fuck you're talking about? What? You're not a reader." I mean, I could have been a dude and dissed and cursed out, but for what? That's her opinion. You know, I think
right.
What she told me, and I applied it to my next book. Cause she did
right.
What she told me. It was really some good insight. But you know, I mean, that's enough for me. I mean, I could go on about this business, but no, I don't want to talk too much though. But
yeah. Well, what I want to do right now, because we got like 18 minutes left, I want to give everybody a chance to kind of tell everybody how they can get their books. And, you know, you already kind of told them what y'all was going to be doing next. So we want to give you all a chance to put out how they can get your books, you know, any websites or anything that you have. So, TP, you want to start out?
Sure. Of course, I'm available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I'm also in paperback. You guys can go to the Anaxandra Book website. That's AnexAndraBook.com. And you'll be able to buy the paperback there while you're getting, you know, the rest of the family and their books available on paperback too. I'm on Facebook. I'm under author T.P. Miller. I'm pretty much there all day. So I'm definitely playing around in different groups and posting. I'm on Twitter, and I'm under Vampire Queen. It's R-E Queen 14, and I follow that, so. And that's pretty much it. I have my own website. I cannot think of the link for it right now, but it's on my profile, and I will post it up in the group again, and I will post it up on my profile. So, pretty much it.
Okay, so we're going to make sure y'all get a copy of this interview after this is done as well. So, Shamor.
I am always on Facebook.
Yes, you are.
Shamor. Shamor Books. Hey, watch it. Wait a minute. I have a life. My website is www.shamor.net. And that gives you my Twitter name. My book is sold on my website right now, and it should populate to Amazon and Barnes & Noble soon. So you can search me on there as well. That's how you find me.
Okay. Are you taking any authors, or are you taking any submissions or anything at your company, or what?
Oh, okay. Yes, I can do my plug for Fashion Inc. Press. We still are taking short stories for the anthology Fire and Desire. We're taking those submissions until the end of August. And I am going to do a call for submission, open call for authors that are interested in publishing and learning the ropes. But that'll come after Fire and Desire closes out. So I'll be looking for that.
Let me ask you a question real quick. On that Fire and Desire, is it only author, one story per author, or is there multiple stories, or just how are y'all doing it?
It's one story per author at this time. We have the featured authors who have some other options, but right now it's only one story per author. And right now it's looking like it's going to be like two separate setups, the Fire stories and the Desire stories, because some of the pieces are a little bit more erotic and a little bit more balmy. So those pieces, more romantic. So,
okay. So did that Red Snapper do, did he make it into that Fire piece, or is he a Desire? What is he?
Well, you know, I learned my lesson about talking in third person on this show.
No, don't say it.
So I'll just say that the piece I read, it's going to be in the Fire part.
Okay. All right. Well, we will definitely keep that in mind about the submissions and stuff. And,
You can promote that as well if you would like to. Go ahead and promote that. I will.
Thank you. So,
thank you.
No problem. So, Eric.
Yes.
How can people get your stuff? We know you all over the place, but still tell them anyway.
Well, I'm on Amazon.com. All my books are on Amazon.com. Just type in either my name, Eric S. Gray, or the book title. E-books, you can reach me on Facebook, author Eric S. Gray, E-R-I-C-K-S-G-R-E-Y. You can befriend me. I'm on Facebook every day. I'm on Twitter, Eric Spencer. I got my blog, ericgray.blogspot.com. My email address, grayspencer2000@yahoo.com. What else? I mean, I'm pretty much, I'll be in ATL next month. Now then, week after that, or ATL is September 15th or 16th. I think Maryland is September 22nd, Baltimore. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, you know, I definitely thank you all for coming on and spending 2 hours with me. I try not to make it as boring. Normally we talk relationships, but tonight it was, everybody was very interested in the literary game, and I know there was a lot of people that were, interested in hearing that. So we thank y'all for taking time out of your schedules, because I know all of y'all are busy. And we thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on Word Sexy Radio and talk shit with me, and, just put it out there the way it is, that this is something you got to love to do, and it's not something that you can get paid doing it, but you got to love it first, and then the money will come. And I think that's important that everybody know that, because a lot of people think, they come in, they get a book, and if they get it published, they think that, okay, automatically it's going to be on the shelves of Walmart and all this stuff. But it takes a lot of work to get out there, and it takes you as an author to do your marketing and get it out there yourself. We really touched that tonight, but a lot of times people think that the publishing company is supposed to do all these things, and they're not going to do that if they don't see you doing anything to get you out there. So it's about you, the brand, not the book. You want the book out there, but like you said before earlier, Eric, people knew your book and didn't know who you were.
Yep.
So, that's not what you want. The objective is to try to get people to know who you are, and then they'll pick up the book. Like Zane, for instance, we use her as an example. Zane can have a book out there. It can be anybody who wrote it. As long as on the top you see Zane Presents, people are going to pick up the book because Zane Presents. It could be garbage. It could be bullshit. But people pick it up because it's got Zane Presents on it, because that's the brand, Zane. And that's what we should be striving to do. It shouldn't be about the book. The book has only got a lifespan a lifestyle of 6 months to a year, if that. If that. 3 months sometimes. So it just depends. But people want, you want people to remember you. Who wrote the book? That's what you want. So that's the objective. So everybody in their genres, whatever you're writing, you know, if you stay in one genre or move into others, whatever in your writing career, you want people to know you and know that you're versatile and that you can change and not just write the same thing all the time. So that's what I strive for, and I challenge everybody that's writing, no matter how long. If you've written a book and you got one book out, doesn't mean that somebody who has 15 books out is better than you. It just means that they've been around a little longer. So everybody's the same. Everybody's the same when it comes to that. And I get tired of going to book signings sometimes where you get these conferences and they want to put mainstream authors in one area, put all the people that's struggling and trying to make it in another area, and nobody sees you. That's just fucked up. But anyway, I thank you guys for coming on the show. And, you know, y'all are welcome to come back anytime you want. Eric, whenever you got something new coming out, man, link up with me. We'll get you back on the show. TP, same thing for you. Shamor, you know you welcome all the time. We talk anyway. This is something that once you've been on my show, you can come on. As long as it exists, I'm open to be on XM Radio one day where I can really talk shit all day long. You know? And you got to have big dreams like that. That's what I'm trying to do. I want the writing to get there as well. So, you know, you guys are welcome to come on. So just let me know when y'all got something new. And we can definitely get you on here, even if it's for a couple of seconds or whatever, if that's what you want. Fine. We thank y'all for coming on. And anybody got any last things they want to say, shout-outs they want to put out to people, whatever, you can do it now.
Well, I shout-out to everybody in every genre, you know, all the up-and-comers and the seasoned authors and, you know, SCR, everything. I mean, we're still family right now.
Right.
I just just want to plead with authors to realize that there is a bigger picture in supporting each other than being competition. So I'm big on support. So
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that.
Well, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you guys for sitting around and listening to all my crazy ramblings. And to everybody that decided to tune in, and just thank you to all the readers of all genres and everything else, because that's the only way this is possible.
And, you know, I want to say thanks to the fans. For those that read, even though there are a lot of people that do reviews that haven't written shit, we still take what y'all say to heart as well, and we learn from, you know, those good and bad reviews. We want you to read. We want you to do reviews. A lot of times people read your books. They want to get free books from you and all this stuff. And then they want to do a review. We need your review so we know what we're doing so that we can fix it if it's messed up. You know, even if you're talking about us, it's fine. Just we want the reviews. That's important. So, again, I want to thank you all for coming on Word Sexy. And, you know, anytime you want to come back, you're welcome. Just let me know. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Amazon. I got my books out there as well, on Barnes & Noble and all that. You know, y'all just need to go out there and pick us up and read us. And you're right, the crab thing. We need to stop that crab thing, because we should be helping each other out instead of, you know, dogging, making a competition like you said. There's enough books and stuff that we have written out there. Everybody can read our stuff. They don't just need to read your book. They need to read all of our books. And it's enough out there too. So, again, I thank you all, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Oh, Check it out. listening.